Today, I want to spend the rest of our time focusing on something that happened between the resurrection and right before Jesus was taken up into heaven. And the first scripture message the passage that I want to talk about, I titled this message "Jesus' Last Words," but I wanted to focus on a few of these scriptures that are listed on the screen. The first one being from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. If we could all rise and read that together. So Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples, is that right? Is it the same?
No, it's not the same.
Okay, actually, sorry. Okay, I'll read 16 and you guys can listen. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go." Now you guys are there, right? Okay, therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Okay, thank you. Please be seated. So, you know, this passage is famously known as the Great Commission, where Jesus, right before he ascended into heaven, he gave this command to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded them. You know, Jesus was charging his disciples, and even you and I today as his followers, to do this. You know, this wasn't something that was only for a select few. It wasn't only for the disciples back in the day, but it's really for all of us. And I really want to spend our time today just reflecting on some of these, the words that we just read. You know, first of all, the first thing very, very quickly in verse 19, if we can see verse 19, we're supposed to go, okay? And you know, I'm not an English major, but I think all of you know that go is a verb. It's not a passive thing. It's something that's an active process, right? We're not just to sit around and be fed spiritually and enjoy everything and get spiritually fat, but we're actually supposed to go. You know, we're supposed to put into practice what Jesus has taught. You know, we're supposed to go, and some of that, for some of us, that might mean going to our neighborhoods. Some of that might mean going to our schools, being in our workplaces, and even going to our family members. And for those, maybe a few of us, that actually, the go might actually mean going overseas, right? But this is, again, an active verb, go. Jesus says go. And when we're going, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to make disciples, as the rest of verse 19 says, right? So what's a disciple? Well, it's one that adheres to the teachings of another. In our case, we're disciples of Christ. You know, it's a follower or a learner, someone who is learning something from the teacher. And so as Christians, as Jesus' disciples, we're supposed to follow his teachings, and we're supposed to learn from him and to basically live like him. Now, I guess I want to pose to us as his disciples, you know, are we on a daily basis learning from Jesus? Are we on a daily basis hearing from the Lord? Are we on a daily basis spending time with him, reading the scriptures? Are we meditating? Are we asking God to show us what those teachings are for the day at hand? Are we drawing close to him in prayer? And are we gathering with other believers to study his word? Alan talked about New Vine starting up small groups. So in the next 6 to 9 months, you're going to be hearing about new small groups starting up in this area. So, you know, I really want to encourage you. Let's gather together with other believers and study his word together. Let's gather together with other believers and learn more from Jesus as what the scripture says. You know, we're not just to be his disciples, but we're supposed to go and make disciples, right? So we're all disciples. As followers of Christ, we're all disciples. But Jesus says one step further, not just are we disciples, but we're supposed to go and make disciples. We're supposed to tell others about him. We're supposed to, you know, say, hey, this is what God has done in my life, and it's so exciting, and I want to tell you more about this God that I believe in. It seems like a big and daunting task. Like, where do we even begin? How do we even begin to make disciples? And I think for some of us, we've really wrestled with that question. And even how are we making disciples here at New Vine? Well, you know, as some of you have seen, you know, we've been around for the last 7 months, and it's really a team effort. You know, making disciples is not easy, right? It's really a team effort, and actually it involves every one of you as members of Christ's body. You know, from those of you that are helping out, serving as greeters in the welcome area, to those that are meeting new friends during dinner, from those of you that are pouring your lives into new friends who want to know more about Jesus, did you realize that some people that have been coming to New Vine, this is their first time that they've been to a church? This is their first time that they've ever heard of the name Jesus before. You know, some of you are helping out in the kitchen, right? This is great. I mean, that's in a sense, it's part of the whole process of discipleship, of disciple making. And some of you, you know, we're so encouraged because some of you have invited your friends to New Vine, and that's really where disciple making begins. It begins with an invitation. It begins with you saying, hey, do you want to go to this new church that I've been a part of? You know, it's really exciting. God's doing so many things in our lives. You know, every week we hear about different stories about how God answers prayer, you know, how we pray for each other, and then God surprises us. And really, that's where disciple making begins. It begins with an invitation. And with that invitation, God's love can pour into the hearts of those who don't know him yet. You know, we've heard of people coming and really saying, yeah, you know, I've been coming, and I've just really sensed the family of God here. I've really sensed the community, and I've really sensed the presence of God and God's love. I mean, that is so special to know that in this church family, in this church body, God's love is so apparent. And that's our prayer, that, you know, as we tell our friends, our neighbors about God, as we invite them here, that they would feel that special love from God, that they would be touched in their heart, and that they would know, come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, it's really all of us. We all have the same mission to make disciples. You know, it's not just one person's responsibility. It's not Pastor Ted. It's not Sandy. It's not just Alan's responsibility or my responsibility. It's all of our responsibility collectively as a family of God to make disciples. You know, we're called to make disciples together, and it's actually easier when you do it together, and it's actually fun. You know, like last week, I think some of you saw it live, but we showed the video of the baptisms last week. That was awesome to see all six of those people from high school all the way to, how old is Don, 80-some? 83. From high school all the way to 83 years old, people getting baptized, people proclaiming Jesus as Lord. You know, how amazing is that? So I just want to remind you that, you know, New Vine, we're all about making disciples. As a church family, that's what we're here for, to make disciples of each other, but to make disciples of other people as well. And then going back to verse 19 in the scriptures, you know, not only are we supposed to just go and make disciples, but we're supposed to make disciples of all nations. You know, Jesus made it clear that the disciples that he wants are made from every nation. Just like yesterday, if you saw those pictures from the Mountain View Parade, the family parade, we were waving flags of all different nations. And those are the flags that are represented in this church body. You know, it's not just the Chinese or the Americans or the Mexicans, but it's a church where we're supposed to make disciples of all nations. The more the merrier. So bring your friends, bring them all down. It doesn't matter. As long as they know English, they're good to go. And I know that, you know, we're providing Mandarin translation, but if we get an influx of more people who don't understand English, we can work on providing earphone translation as well. You know, sometimes it's really easy to stick around people that are like us, you know. So, you know, being Asian, being Chinese, sometimes it's comfortable. It's like, oh yeah, you know, people of my own kind, you know, it's that comfort zone. But that's not gonna be a reflection of heaven. You know, when we get to heaven, all nations, all tongues, and all tribes will be represented in heaven. And that's going to be such a glorious picture. And that's our prayer here for New Vine, that we would be representative and have a taste of a glimpse of heaven, all tribes, all tongues, all nations, worshiping the Lord together. You know, that's why when New Vine started, it wasn't just meant to be an Asian church. You know, it's supposed to be a church for all nations, people from all different countries. And you know, again, we've seen how God is building his church, and it's been really awesome to see. You know, we live in the Bay Area, and we see the nations coming to us. You know, you may be working with different people from different countries, different ethnicities. Your classmates may be from different places around the world, or they may speak a different language than you. It's a beautiful thing that God is bringing the nations to our doorsteps. You know, but we're also supposed to go to the nations. You know, it's great that the nations are coming to us, but in this Great Commission, it also says that we're supposed to go to the nations. You know, while not everyone can go to the nations, you know, we can support those who are going to the nations. Earlier in March, we had some missionary friends. I don't know if some of you have been here. Were around in early March when our missionaries Tim and Penny Iverson from Taiwan spoke to us, when Tim shared the word from the pulpit with us. And, you know, it's people like those dear missionaries that we can support who are out on the field sharing the love of Jesus Christ to people who have not yet heard of the gospel. Going back to verse 19 and then on to verse 20, Jesus says that we're supposed to not only go and make disciples of all nations, but we're supposed to baptize them and we're supposed to teach them, right? I referred to earlier the baptism during Resurrection Sunday last week where six of our folks got dunked. And it was beautiful to read their testimonies. It was beautiful to see them each make a profession of faith. You know, while discipleship making might begin with a simple invitation, it continues until a person comes to faith in Christ, gets baptized, and grows in the Lord. You know, our job is not done just to merely get them here to church. That's kind of where the work begins. You know, we invite, we pray, people come, we start loving on them, and God's love starts pouring down on them. But then it's really about a decision that they have to make about, you know, believing in Jesus. And it doesn't stop there. It takes a further step to get baptized, right? And then after getting baptized, you know, continuing to grow in the Lord, to being rooted in God's word, to really understanding his truths and what scripture is all about. You know, the new believers that we have in our midst, you know, they need to be taught to really understand what Jesus is saying, what Jesus is teaching us about, and how to be grounded in God's word. You know, some of you are already meeting with some of our new friends who have been baptized. You know, you're going through the Bible with them, you're teaching them, you're discipling a new believer. And in the days to come, we're going to need more people to do that. We're going to need more people to step up and say, you know, let me share a little bit more with you about my own faith journey. And so again, we do this together as a community. You know, to be made a disciple, it really means that it's kind of like a cyclical thing, right? We become a disciple of Jesus, but then once we become a disciple of Jesus, we're supposed to also make disciples of other people, right? Jesus' teachings are meant to be passed on. And then finally in verse 20, there's a promise, and it's that Jesus promises to be with us. Verse 20 says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You know, Jesus doesn't just leave this Great Commission and just say, okay, you're on your own, you know, you guys figure it out. But he promises to be with us to the end of the age. We're not alone in doing this. We have each other, but more importantly, we have Jesus. We have Jesus helping us. He's the one who's with us. He's the one that's empowering us. In fact, earlier in verse 18, I don't know if it's on the screen, but it said that Jesus was saying that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And it's with this authority that he gives us to be able to make disciples of all the nations. You know, these verses that we just read in Matthew 28, it's a great commission that Jesus left with his church, But it's really meant to be applied not just locally in the local church body, but it's also meant to be applied internationally. You know, when it's applied locally, it can be known as local outreach. You know, our prayer is that as a new church family, New Vine here in Mountain View, that we can have an impact in our neighborhood, in our community. And yesterday when we were in the Mountain View Family Parade, that was kind of like an intro to the community that, hey, we exist. There's a church here that loves you. There's a church here that really desires to get to know you. You know, we really want to impact this local community with God's love and with his kingdom. You know, we really want people to come to know about him, and we want people to become his disciples. You know, maybe New Vine will one day start ESL classes. Wouldn't that be awesome if we were to, you know, be able to start ESL classes in the community? Maybe we'll have a daycare, just like in San Jose, we already have Gateway Preschool Academy. Maybe we'll have a daycare here that can minister to young families. Maybe we'll have like a Christian kids club, in the local schools in Mountain View. Maybe we'll have some other types of community service where there are avenues for us as a church family to get to know the community and to outreach locally. I know when the Great Commission is applied internationally, it's what we call missions. It's really a definition of missions where we basically go cross-culturally. We leave our comforts of what we're used to and we go to another country perhaps. You know, maybe some of us will be called by God to serve him overseas and to take the gospel to people who have never heard of the name of Jesus before. You know, maybe some of us can support and pray for missionaries like Tim and Penny Iverson. In the months to come, I'm sure we'll have other opportunities to meet some of our other missionaries that we partner with in the future. Another passage really, really quickly that I want to look into is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It's just one verse. You don't have to stand, but let's all read this together. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, we talked about Jesus' promise in the last passage that Jesus promises to be with us to the very end of the age. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know, Jesus is telling the disciples that they're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. You know, it's really through the Holy Spirit's empowerment that we can really express Jesus' love and grace to those who don't know him yet. You know, it's really not about what we say. It's really not about the words that we use, but it's really about how the Holy Spirit is already working in someone's life already. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes it doesn't even take much. You know, I think when we pray, we really need to be praying that God would lead us to people who are ready for him. People that God's Spirit is already working on their hearts. And then all we just have to do is extend the invitation. And sometimes we get surprised when they actually say, okay, I'll come to church with you, because we think a lot of times we think that, you know, people are just going to say no when they hear about church. But, you know, you'd be surprised if God is already working in someone's heart, how easy it might be. And that's so that we need to be praying for the Holy Spirit to be working on those hearts. And, you know, we also need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us each day, all the time, so that we can be empowered by him, so that we can be his witnesses. As it says in verse 8, it says, you will be my witnesses. Now, what's a witness? You know, we talked about what a disciple is. It's a follower of Christ. What's a witness? Well, Webster's Dictionary defines it as an attestation of a fact or event, a testimony, one that gives evidence, one who has personal knowledge of something. You know, you and I are supposed to be Christ's witnesses. You and I are supposed to testify of God's goodness in our own lives, right? And that's why that's why every Sunday we have family time. We give you opportunities to share with one another what God has done in your life that week. And then we give praise to Jesus, you know, for being with Jason's uncle, for hearing our prayers, you know, for being with his that surgery. You know, so what has God done in your life that you can testify of? How has your life been changed after you met the Lord? You know, how was your life before, and how is your life now? You know, we're supposed to be Christ's witnesses no matter where we are, whether it be in our schools, whether it be in our neighborhoods, in our families, and even in, to the ends of the earth. You know, in the scripture in chapter 1, verse 8, it says, you're to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem was the city that they were in, right? Judea was the region that Jerusalem was in. Samaria was the next region over, and Jesus says, even to the ends of the earth, that we're supposed to be his witnesses, right? So it starts here locally, and then it extends out, right? Even to the ends of the earth. I know I'm probably going a little fast, but that's because I have a few more things to get through. But the final passage of scripture that I wanted to go over is found in Romans 10, verses 13 through 15. And again, if you can join me in reading this together. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So really what I want to concentrate and point out from these verses is in verse 13, how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? I want to ask you, how did you hear about Jesus? Was it through your parents? Was it through a friend? Was it a stranger maybe who you bumped into your college campus and that invited you to a campus fellowship or a Bible study? I'm assuming that someone had to tell you about Jesus. Aren't you glad that someone told you about Christ and what he's done for you? You know, where would you be or would I be if that person didn't say something? If that person didn't say, hey, Linda, I want to tell you about Jesus. Who are we, you know, where would we even know about Jesus, right? If really the gospel is good news to us, if Jesus' death means anything to us, what if that someone never said anything? What if that someone stayed silent? Would we have known about Jesus' love and sacrifice for us? You know, someone had to tell you about Jesus. And if that gospel is really good news, then we're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. We're not supposed to, you know, keep it as a little secret. We're not supposed to be comfortable with each other and just say, oh yeah, I have a great time at church. You know, that's great, but it goes beyond that. We're supposed to share this good news with people who don't know him. We're supposed to share it with our neighbors. We're supposed to share it with our classmates. We're supposed to share it with people we don't even know. This whole thing about the Great Commission and you know, local evangelism and missions, you know, missions has kind of always been on my heart. And maybe it's because I grew up in our San Jose church and you know, maybe growing up, I heard a lot about missionaries that would kind of come by and speak, you know, on a yearly or twice a year basis. You know, but as I started reflecting on this message, you know, I began to ask myself, well, how did I come to know about Jesus and his love? Well, I started attending our San Jose church as a little boy, and I heard about God through Sunday school. You know, I heard about God as a little kid from my Sunday school teacher. Don't ask me which one because I don't remember which one, but it's probably an accumulation of different Sunday school teachers. And so for those of you who have kids in Vinekins right now, you know, it's a really special time because this is when your kids are exposed to Christ's love. This is when your kids people are pouring into your kids' lives, you know, to reflect the love of Christ. But I'm always very appreciative about my Sunday school teachers because they're the ones who shared with me about Jesus's love. But let me tell you about a little story, and if we can have that PowerPoint presentation. So over 100 years ago, there was a university student. So 100 years ago, so what are we, 2017? Is that right? So over 100 years ago would be before 1917. So probably around, I think, 1913 to 1915, there was a university student by the name of Ruth Hitchcock, who on the left, that's Ruth. She completed her first year at Stanford, local institution. Originally from Santa Barbara, her parents owned like an orchard and a business. And after she completed her first year of Stanford, she took a year off. And for whatever reason, her parents suggested her to take a year off, and she went to China, of all places. And remember, this is way back when, you know, 1915 or so. She went to China for a visit. And as soon as she stepped foot in China, somehow God touched her heart. And she dedicated her life to return to China and to serve the Chinese by sharing the love of God with the Chinese people. You know, during those days in the early 1900s, China was in turmoil. There was civil war, there was famine, and there was disease. And this young American university student began her ministry in the southern part of China as a single lady missionary. Didn't even finish Stanford. She just quit school and heard God's calling to go overseas and to be in China. You know, during those days, there were many orphans. They were left in the streets to die. And she would pick up these orphans and bring them home to feed them and to care for them. I'm going to go to the next picture. So these are some of the orphans that Ruth Hitchcock took care of. As a result of that, many of these orphans, their lives were saved physically, but also under the care of this dear missionary. They came to know Jesus as a loving God, and a lot of these orphans became Christians. And out of a few of these orphans, a few of these young people dedicated themselves to full-time ministry and studied at a school called Alliance Bible Seminary in Guangxi, China. This was before the communists took over China in 1949, and when the communists took over China, the school moved to Hong Kong. And then upon graduation from Hong Kong, some of these young men went to serve as missionaries in Vietnam, where they planted various churches among the Chinese in Vietnam. And in one of those churches, a couple by the name of Mr. and Mrs. Liu met the Lord and grew in their faith. And then a few days right before the fall of Saigon in 1975, Mr. and Mrs. Liu took part of their family, along with their three-year-old grandson, fled Vietnam a couple days right before the communists took over, and ended up at a refugee camp in Guam. And it was in Guam that Mr. and Mrs. Liu met some of the other Alliance missionary friends from Vietnam, who had told them that a new Chinese church, Alliance Church, would be starting up in San Jose. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Liu are now with the Lord, but their grandson is still here and is actually standing before you today. You see, I'm a product of overseas missions. In fact, if you think about it, most of us might be a product of overseas missions if you trace your spiritual history back far enough. You know, God in his marvelous and miraculous and mysterious ways used missionaries to reach my grandparents. And one of those missionaries, the Chinese orphan, which is, I think it's this guy, as a little boy. This is him as an older adult. This is Pastor Jonathan Kahn, one of the orphans that Ruth Hitchcock picked up from the street and cared for and loved. You know, it's amazing how God used someone's obedience to go to China to impact people there. And then in God's mysterious ways, God had a call on the little boy's life. He went to seminary. He became a missionary to Vietnam. There he met my grandparents, and there my grandparents met the Lord. And I'm here today in God's family. It's amazing to see how someone's obedience can have such a dramatic impact and be so life-changing many generations down the line. You know, New Vine is part of a movement called the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And this movement was formed over 125 years ago by a pastor by the name of Albert Benjamin Simpson. He's on the left, some of those pictures. You know, he actually was a pastor of a very prestigious and large Presbyterian church in New York City. But he actually left his position there because he really wanted to minister to the masses. You know, there were a lot of, at that time in the 1800s, there was a lot of Italian immigrants that had settled into New York City. And Dr. Simpson had a heart to reach out to these Italian immigrants. But the church that he was in didn't want to minister to those immigrants. They just wanted to be by themselves. They just wanted to be in their comfortable, you know, affluent lifestyle. And so Simpson left, and because of his heart to minister to the flood of immigrants, and because he faced a lot of opposition from his church, he started a gospel tabernacle church, a church in the heart of New York City where everyone, the poor, the homeless, the sick, the displaced, would be welcome. You know, as a movement, we're focused on planting churches. We're focused on making disciples. You know, the reason we're here today in Mountain View as New Vine is because the church in San Jose wanted to plant another campus. You know, our San Jose church was planted way back in 1975, and we met at a church called Willow Glen Alliance, and they hosted us for many, many years. It was a Caucasian church that hosted a little Chinese church that was starting up. And they were very gracious in hosting us, and now today in our San Jose church, we're hosting other partner churches. You know, we have a Spanish congregation that meets in the afternoon. We have a Cambodian church that meets there in the afternoon. We have a Vietnamese church that meets there in the afternoon. And now, you know, Pastor Ted is talking about hosting an Arabic church, and they've been meeting, these Arabic brothers and sisters have been meeting since December, once a month, you know, bringing their friends and trying to start something in San Jose. You know, even though New Vine is a very young church, you know, our prayer is that one day we will be able to plant churches. We will be able to send a team of people out into another community and to start what God has started here in Mountain View. It's supposed to be replicating, right? We're supposed to make disciples, and it doesn't stop with us. We're supposed to replicate ourselves. We're supposed to replicate our churches. You know, if you think about it, some of us are from perhaps an ethnic church background, you know, but actually some of these ethnic churches are really the product of missions. You know, many years ago, like I shared in the slide, oh, I forgot to tell you when I shared that original slide of Ruth Hitchcock, the picture on the left, that was more of a, I don't want to say most recent picture, but that was a picture from 1975 when she wrote her autobiography. But it's people like Ruth Hitchcock, you know, Western missionaries from the States who went to places like China, or perhaps to Africa, or perhaps to Latin America, you know, who toiled, who learned the language, who really had a heart for the local people and shared relentlessly and tirelessly so that they could share the gospel and win some to Jesus. And it's because of the sacrifice of these missionaries that Ruth Hitchcock, just like Ruth Hitchcock, that some of us are here today, that some of perhaps our parents or perhaps our grandparents heard the gospel, you know, whether it be through a missionary or through someone else who was affected by a missionary. You know, so as some of us from an ethnic church background, you know, we're ultimately the product of missions. And now it's our turn to reach the nations for Christ. You know, Paul talks about having a debt to the gospel. Right, he talks about really being indebted because of what Christ has done. And I feel like for some of us, we have this debt to take the message of the gospel, you know, to our local communities, but also to the ends of the earth, just like what Jesus talked about in that passage in Matthew. You know, for some of us, it may mean reaching those that God has brought into our midst, you know, to our local communities. Maybe it means like being a witness in our school. You know, maybe we need to ask God, you know, Jesus, show me how to be a witness. You know, how can I be bold for you? Holy Spirit, fill me and empower me so that I can tell my friends about what you're doing in my life. You know, maybe it means, you know, taking a step of faith and, you know, and talking to your neighbor and asking your neighbor, oh, how was your weekend? And maybe even saying, oh, well, you know, my weekend was great. We were able to participate in the Mountain View Family Parade, you know, our new church that started. We you know, marched down Castro Street and we really had a great time. Maybe it means for some of us, you know, asking God to give us his boldness so that we can be in our workplaces and be a witness for him. And then for others, it may mean going overseas and maybe even being perhaps a missionary. You know, I forgot about the slides. So just a few, I'm going to skip over some of these things. But I do want to highlight that within the Alliance, you know, we only have about 2,000 churches in the U.S., New Vine being one of them. But in those 2,000 churches, 37 languages are used every Sunday, and we have a little less than 500,000 worshipers. But overseas, because we're part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, missionary is our middle name. We place a great emphasis on sending people overseas. Overseas, we have 20,000 plus churches with over 5.5 million worshipers. I mean, that's a staggering amount of people. And that's because of people who have dedicated their lives in sharing the gospel overseas. And this is the movement that we're a part of. You know, not just locally, but it has worldwide impact. I also want to talk about a few things, maybe before that. So you might be asking, well, okay, so we talked about Jesus' Great Commission. You know, how can we be involved in Christ's Great Commission? You know, most importantly, we can pray. You know, we can pray that God would help us to know what it means to be a disciple, to be a true follower of Christ, to be rooted in his word. We can pray that Jesus would help us to be a disciple maker, that we would be able to be his witness, that we would be able to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to share what God has done in our lives, that it would just flow out of our lives as we you know, talk to other people that don't know yet about Christ. You know, we can pray for our missionaries. You know, people like Tim and Penny, when they came, you know, they had some prayer cards. How many of us were able to pick up a prayer card and to say, yeah, I'm going to commit to praying for you as you serve in an overseas country? I know we can support. We can give financially to support the work of overseas missions. We can support some of the missionaries that are, you know, that our movement is part of in those many countries that I shared with you earlier. The other thing is we can get involved with local outreaches. You know, we don't have anything here at New Vine yet, you know, but in our San Jose church, you know, we have different things like ESL, we have different things like a kids club, we have like a senior center. So there are different ways that we can be involved with outreaching into our local community, or we can even go on a short-term mission trip, and that's what I kind of wanted to bring to your attention. So we, in conjunction with our San Jose church, we are sponsoring a few trips this year. Actually, there's a team going to Cambodia next month, and then the youth are going to Mexicali, and some of our Viners are going to be going as well to Mexico. And then later in the fall, we're going to be taking another team to Jordan to work with the Alliance Academy in Jordan. And then also in Taiwan, we're going to be sending a team over to Taiwan. So these are just some of the trips. And this is just a very quick summary. We are sending a team to China as well. But because of sensitivity issues, we're not really publicizing that as much. But there's also newly added this Envision Taipei trip. So basically, there's going to be two teams going to Taiwan. What makes this Envision trip unique is it's geared towards college and young adults. So all of you millennials out there, this is your chance to go together. Actually, I think David Cao was here earlier. I think he's right there. So he's going to be leading that team. So if any of you are interested, go talk to him. There's going to be an info session later in May. But basically, they're going to be in the heart of Taipei in a coffee shop called Aroma coffee shop, and then this aroma coffee shop has an aroma church. You know how we're supposed to be the fragrance of Christ? So I guess they smell a little like coffee as well, but with coffee comes Christ, I guess. But they're going to be ministering through that. So if you have, you know, so if any of these opportunities are of interest to you, please see me or talk to Pastor Ted. You know, this is a way to kind of taste and see what God is doing around the world. This is, you know, some of these trips are like a week to 2 weeks time. You know, but that's another way is we can go. But as we reflect on those three passages that we read today, I just wanted to close. And if we could all stand, and as we reflect on just some of the what we heard about, I just want to ask you about your story. You know, how did you come to know Christ? Who told you about the Savior? Who told you about Jesus? Now, thank God for that person right now. Thank God for that friend or that parent or that stranger who told you about God's love. Another question I want to ask you about is, as a disciple of His, what are we doing to be a disciple maker? How can Jesus help you to be a disciple maker? Maybe it starts by saying, God, show me how. Maybe it starts with just being open to say, yeah, God, I see your great commission, and I see that I'm not supposed to hide this good news to myself, but I'm really supposed to share it. Ask Jesus to help you. Ask Jesus to pour out His Spirit so that He can fill you, so that He can empower you, so that you can be that witness even as you leave here today, as you go home, as you go back to school tomorrow, or as you go back to your workplace tomorrow. Ask the Lord to show you how to be a witness, a true witness, so that others would see a difference in your life. And then finally, what's your response to Jesus' great commission? How does God want you to be involved in reaching even to the ends of the earth? Is it through prayer? Are you able to set aside a regular time to pray for God's work here locally and around the world? Maybe it's by supporting. Maybe it's by writing a check and supporting our missionaries. Maybe it's even going. Maybe it's even saying, God, I'm open. If you want me to go on one of these short-term mission trips, I'm open to going. Or perhaps even, God, I'm willing to give up my life to go full-time, to share the gospel with those who've not heard overseas. God, we thank you for our time together today. Thank you, Jesus, for rising from the dead. And after when you rose, Jesus, thank you for giving us your great commission, for charging us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. Jesus, we pray that you would strengthen and enable your church today. God, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would remind us of how we first met you, of the one who told us about you. And God, that we would really respond to you in a grateful way. God, we ask that you would show us how you want us to participate in your Great Commission, how you want us to participate in making disciples of all the nations, whether it be here or there. Jesus, we thank you for your invitation for each and every one of us to join you at work. And we ask that you would continue to show us your heart for the lost, that you would show us your heart for the world. Jesus, even as we go from here today, as we go back to our homes, as we go back to our neighborhoods, as we go back to our schools and our workplaces tomorrow, God, give us your eyes to see. Give us a compassion in our hearts that you would bring to our mind names of people that we can be praying for, that we can be praying for you to give us opportunities to be your witness. Jesus, show us how. Lord, we really don't know how to be your witness, and we need you to show us. We need you to empower us. We need you to give us the boldness. We need you to give us the words to say, to be a witness for you. God, we thank you for your promise that says that you will never leave us, that you are there with us until the end of the age. And so we take that promise and we claim it and we say, Jesus, thank you for being Emmanuel. Thank you for being God with us, even as we go, even as we make disciples, even as we are your witnesses, that you are with us, that we're not alone. So thank you, Jesus, for your presence even here today. And God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather as your church family, to gather as your church body. And Lord, we ask that you, even as we depart, as we go upstairs to enjoy a meal together, we ask, Lord, that you would bless the food before us. We ask, God, that you would bless our time together as we eat together, as we talk, as we get to know each other. Lord, that you would draw us into a tighter community through your love and by your grace. So Jesus, we thank you for this time today. In your son's precious name we pray. Amen.